Jesus.
Go ahead and take a seat. Wow. Father, we just recognize right now that you're in this house. And we make room for you right now. So I bind up any distractions that will try to distract you from receiving the word of God today in your life. Father, and I pray for a fresh outpouring of your spirit over your house. In your name we pray, amen. Man, isn't the presence of God amazing? Amen. Well, I love the vision that God gave Pastor Eric a long time ago, that he showed Eric this picture of this tabernacle, and there'd be so many people packed in here that they'd be overflowing outside. And I really believe that's in the process of already happening. We're seeing new folks every single weekend. Listen, and it's not about having the biggest church. It's about making room for the people that are hurting, the lost, and even Christians that need to go deeper or need freedom in their lives. So this is a house where the expectation should be this. Lord, what are you going to do this Sunday? So I hope every Sunday when you come, you say, Lord, I want to be changed more like you. Amen? So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 6. We're going to start off in there, and I just want to encourage you to, we'll also have the scriptures up on the screens. If I get to going a little fast, I took about an hour's message, and God melted it down to 30 minutes. And he just said, watch what I'm about to do in 30 minutes. And I said, okay, Lord. Here we go. This is, I'm going to read this. God's about to speak to his people, and he's going to give them some really, really good news. He's going to take him out of slavery. How do you know you getting set free of any kind of slavery? That's really good news. So when I read this scripture, I want you to picture we're in the scenes of this. This isn't just a history lesson. This is, we read scripture to see what God wants to do in us. There's some really good news right here, but watch the end, because it kind of has a bad ending for the people. Here we go, chapter 6. Then the Lord told Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. When he feels the force of my strong hand, he will let the people go. In fact, he will force them to leave his land. And God said to Moses, I am Yahweh, the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as El Shaddai, God Almighty, but I did not reveal my name, Yahweh, to them. And I reaffirmed my covenant with them. Under its terms, I promised to give them the land of Canaan, where they were living as foreigners. You can be sure that I have heard the groans of the people of Israel, who are now slaves to the Egyptians, and I am well aware of my covenant with them. Therefore, say to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I will free you from your oppression and will rescue you from your slavery in Egypt. I will redeem you with a powerful arm and great acts of judgment. I will claim you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who has freed you from your oppression in Egypt. I will bring you into the land I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as your very own possession. I am the Lord. So Moses told the people of Israel what the Lord had said, but they refused to listen anymore. They had become too discouraged by the brutality of their slavery. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us today? We're listening. Think about this. God just gave them some amazing news about what he was about to do, but they had become too discouraged to receive the word, too discouraged. You see, the burdens of discouragement and disappointment that we can all face, right, if we don't process them properly, can actually get in the way of you hearing a fresh new word from God. That's why it's super important that we cast our burdens and our cares upon the Lord. And this is a daily casting. It's not a one-time deal, right? You see, discouragement is the enemy to God's voice in your life. God wants to give every single one of us a fresh word. Last week I shared how I passed my discouragement on to God, right? This kingdom exchange took place in my life, and I shared that with you. You see, he took my pain and my disappointments and the weight of the world that I was going through, and it was changing me, and he recognized it. I would say it kind of was making me an unhappy Christian, right? The ashes left over from those painful moments were piling up on me. It was like a spiritual dimmer. You see, if you hold on to burdens, it's like a spiritual dimmer on a light that will go slowly and slowly out. And the Lord told me, he said, pass the plate. And I'm like, Lord, what plate? And then he showed me this big white plate with a pile of ashes that were built up. And he goes, those are all ashes from painful things that you've been holding on to that I want. Someone told me last week that they took this white paper plate and they wrote down their burdens at home and they passed it to the Lord with their eyes closed and they gave those to the Lord. And I said, what a beautiful example of putting into practice what you hear on Sunday. Imagine what the church would look like if we carried no burdens. Think about it. If we carry no burdens, only the presence of God to move freely through us and into other people's lives. Burdens will clog the kingdom in your life, not just for you, but for what God wants to do through you. God will not steal your ashes. You have to give them to him. Isaiah 50 verse 7 says this, for the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint. Listen, in the area of casting your burdens onto the Lord, setting your face like a flint rock is super hard. That's why I'm making a resolution, this resolve in me, and I'm preaching from me right now, that I will not hold on to burdens, that I'm going to be determined to protect my plate. And your plate represents everything going on inside of you. It's your soul, it's your mind, your will, and your emotion, but I'm protecting that plate because I want to be seeing, make room for you. I want room on my plate for kingdom things. But when your plate is stacked up with ashes, it's kind of hard for God to put the new stuff in you that he wants to do through you. Can you see the significance of why it's so important to daily pass the plate? It's not a one-time deal. Not a one-time deal. Do you know that here's the good news? We sang it today, and it was actually spoken up here. Funny how God connects scripture to what I'm about to say. But remember, he doesn't turn ashes into nothing. He will turn your ashes into something beautiful. And he can't make something beautiful out of nothing. Have you thought about that? What does that mean? That means he won't waste your pain. Look at Isaiah 61:3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. God wants to plant you with deep roots like a tree, right? By the water of his presence. Check it out. Listen, this is good news for us. Good news for us. Beauty for ashes. He takes your pain and he makes something beautiful. I've done funerals before where people get saved from the pain of loss. He'll make something beautiful out of our ashes. But check it out. God says, be alert because we have an enemy that's been doing this for thousands of years. How to make people think that they're so stuck that they will never get out of being stuck. He'll try to put things, ashes back on your plate that you've already given to the Lord. There's been times that I've battled, I contended for my freedom. What do I mean by contend? That means I'm not letting stuff get back on my plate that I've already given to God, but there's been times, listen, where I have literally passed this plate of burden. It was really hard to go through this couple of things I went through, and then I give it to the Lord, and an hour later, I'm thinking back on it. And I say, nope, I'm contending, and I pass that plate back to the Lord again. I'm going to continue passing because the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee. Pretty soon I've passed that plate so many times, the devil went on to someone else. It's not a one-time passing. Sometimes if we don't interpret this correctly, you say, God, I don't know what's going on. It didn't work. It's not about it working. It's about you keeping hope in God that he really is God. But I refuse to let the old stuff mess with the new stuff that God's doing in me. Amen. God says in Jeremiah 29, here's the new stuff. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. This is for every single one of us in here, no matter where you are in your walk. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Amen. Isn't that good news for us? That's good news for us. All right, so now that you kind of got the grasp of, if you missed last week, I'll encourage you to go watch last week. But that was a little review for us. We get how to pass our plates, our burdens to the Lord. Now I want to encourage you how to protect your plate. That's the title of today's message, Protect Your Plate. Beware of people passing offenses onto your plate. You got to protect your plate. I've been guilty of this too. Do not let them put their ash pile on your plate because that's what can happen. Look at Matthew 18. God's convicted me of this because I've when I read this, I'm like, I've done this. Look at Matthew 18, verse 15 and 16. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Everybody say alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. It's a simple game plan. If someone is struggling with something, don't let them pass that offense on to you. Just lovingly, here, I'm gonna give you, it's hard when someone comes up to you, right? But I'm gonna give you a simple way how to avoid them putting this on your plate. Just simply say, hold on just a second. It sounds like you have an offense towards them. I wanna encourage you, according to scriptures, to go to them and get this worked out. Because if you do things in God's order, it works out, amen? If you do things out of order, now you got their ashes with you. But if you sit and listen to them, you can actually reinforce the pain that they're going through. Remember, what's on your plate, you'll eat. If it's on your plate, you're gonna eat it. I'm gonna give you an example. Tanya and I were young and dumb. When you're 18 years old, you just don't know. And I was playing footballs in college, and I remember I'd get home, and we had, baby Garrett was our son. We had one son, and he was like about a year at the time, but I'd get home from college and that night, and I'd tell, hey, babe, I wanna go play some basketball. I wanna play some pickup game. And she goes, well, you went last night. And she goes, well, you pray about it, because she wanted me to stay home. She wanted an adult conversation, right? I said, yes, I'll go pray about it. So I actually went in the back room, and I still remember, I shut the door and I prayed, Lord, can I go play basketball? That's what I did. He didn't answer, so I asked him again. Maybe he was busy. So I asked him like 10 times until I heard him say, yeah, go ahead and play, son. Actually, that was me. See, if you ask the Lord so many times to get the answer you want, eventually you'll get the answer you want. God did not say that to me, but I said, I come out, all right, babe, Lord gave me permission. So I went and played basketball in an inner city area that we were at. It was rough, and it was more like football than basketball, but I liked it. But I remember I got this rebound, and I turned. Within the first minute, this big dude, way bigger than me, stuck his thumb right in my eye, and I thought my eye came out. I remember as I was dropping to the ground, I was already repenting. Because inside, I knew I was out of order. I was out of where I was supposed to be. I should have been home with my wife. I went home and I told babe, I said, hey, babe. And she goes, what's wrong with your eye? And I said, don't worry about that. I'm sorry. And we made up. We got it worked out. But a couple weeks later, there's a family reunion. And we go to this and I see her sister. And that was Tanya's best friend. We lived about an hour from Christy. And Tanya, I see her sister there at this reunion. And she's looking at me weird, kind of eye mugging me. And we get in the car and I go, babe, what's wrong with your sister? You know, and she goes, oh, man, I told her that you've been playing too much basketball and you left me last couple weeks. And I said, you did. And I realized right then that her sister was offended by me. Tanya and I, we've already made up. But her sister was carrying something that she was never supposed to carry. Are you with me? Okay, so it's so important we protect our plate from what others even have to say. There's a right order so you don't pick up offense. In fact, there's another level of this. God talks about what this is, and he calls it gossip. The Bible teaches that gossiping is destructive behavior, that it separates people, causes division, and listen, damages the kingdom. Romans 1:29 says, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity, that they are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips. See, when you're talking about somebody, like Pastor Eric says, instead of going to them, gossip is a sin. You know, even though gossip can be true, it still is a sin. You could be speaking about me, telling somebody else, and it may be totally true, right? But it still is harmful to the kingdom, amen? So every day we're presented with opportunities to be offended, and we get a choice what to do with that. All right, so we got pass the plate, we got protect the plate, right? And I wanna shift gears a little bit, okay? Shift gears right here, because I want to say what happens now when you have a clean plate. So picture, you've done what God's asked. You've got this clean plate, right? What happens now? Here's the good stuff. You've made room for God to put something of the kingdom on your plate now. You've made room, right? You didn't just scoot stuff to the side, right? You made room for God. And one of the things from the kingdom that he'll put on your plate is a big pile of kingdom hope. Everybody say hope. Hope is a kingdom word. It's significant, but sometimes we can overlook the significance of the word hope, okay? Isaiah 40, verse 31. Many of you are familiar with this scripture. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You see, hope is linked to strength. It's linked to strength. Hope is a kingdom word that activates strength in your life as you hope in God, right? So what can happen when we get so discouraged or disappointed and we allow things to pile up on our plate? God speaks to what can happen if you let stuff pile up. Take a look at Proverbs 13. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. What makes the heart sick? It's not the situation that you're going through. It's not the pain of what you're going through. It's when you stop hoping in God that you can get a sick heart. It's when you stop thinking, God, you're going to come through for me in this situation. You can get a sick heart. And I've gotten a sick heart before. Hopelessness is actually faith in the wrong kingdom. Hopelessness is faith in the wrong kingdom. Here's kingdom thinking about something that's currently not good in my life. This being a Christian doesn't mean I live in denial. It just means I'm going to keep my thoughts in the right kingdom, right? Hopelessness is in the wrong kingdom. There's two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of light and kingdom of darkness. There is no gray kingdom. Listen, the devil's tricked a lot of Christians to live their lives in the gray kingdom. It's either black or white. You're either for God or you're against God. Those are two kingdoms. Amen? So hopelessness would be in the wrong kingdom, but hope in God is in the right kingdom. And I want my thoughts and my words to line up to his thoughts and his words, because this is a living word of God, right? Remember, God's voice is huge in our life. He made the earth with words. When we speak his words, they can shift things. Amen? Things shift in our life. But hopelessness is actually faith in the wrong kingdom. And it's not, listen, it's not wishful thinking. I don't wish that God comes through, because I've done that before. I wish God would show up. I'm hoping in God. It's an intentional kingdom word. I'm hoping in God that he's going to show up in this situation, right? And my situation may not be good yet, but it's going to get good. Everybody say, going to get good. It's going to get good. It ain't good yet, but it's going to get good. That's kingdom thinking. I actually took that phrase and I ran it through ChatGPT, and I said, would you give it a Texas twist? Because, see, I've been in Oklahoma for 25 years, so I had to figure out. It said, ready, partner? That's what it said. I'm not like Pastor Eric that can rip off some great sayings. ChatGPT said, ain't much to brag on now, but give it a spell. It's going to shine like a new horseshoe. My situation ain't good yet, but it's going to shine like a new horseshoe. Amen? But we know the Bible is a written word of God. I want my thinking to line up to the king's thinking. I want kingdom thinking. I want kingdom thoughts. I want kingdom words. When I activate the kingdom, it's through my thoughts and my words, not by wishful thinking. If I think from the wrong, listen, what you think about will happen. If you think in the wrong kingdom, it's going to happen. But if you think on the kingdom of God, that will happen. Hope is a kingdom word. Hopelessness is the devil's word. You see, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And before he can destroy you, what's he have to do? He has to steal from you. And what's he want to steal? He wants to steal your hope. If he can steal your hope, he can take you down a path you were never supposed to go. He has to convince you that the situation is hopeless. It's not going to get better. Stop trying. Remember, hope deferred makes the heart sick. You got to protect your hope. Protect your hope. Hope in God says, I don't know exactly how it's going to turn out, but it's going to be good. God's going to show up. Romans chapter 15 says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Everybody say believing. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. There's believing and hope, and the power of God shows up. Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. And then Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I believe even right now as I'm speaking, as I say the word of God out loud, hope in each one of us, hope rising. I could have titled this message, hope rising. Amen? Amen? See, any thought that you have that does not have hope attached to the end of it is a lie. I'm going to say that again. Any thought that you have that it does not have a good ending is a lie from the devil. Here's a great prayer. Lord, show me any lie that I'm believing. You ever ask the Lord that? Would you show me any lie that I'm believing? See, hope sounds like this. My finances, they're not good right now, but I'm a tither. And I know what scripture says about tithing, that God's going to open up the resources in my life. Maybe it's not more money. Maybe it's a side job. Maybe he's going to protect what we have until we get back on our feet financially. But whatever it looks like, I know that the King of Kings is going to show up in my situation. But we have to be fully convinced of what we believe. Are you fully convinced that God will show up in whatever situation you're facing? Got to be fully convinced. You see, cheerfulness is evidence that I've got my mind in the right kingdom. Cheerfulness. If you're battling sadness or depression, there's a high chance you've got your thinking in the wrong kingdom. But cheerfulness is evidence that God's going to show up. Now, I grew up watching a cartoon called Popeye. Where's some old folks in here with me? Popeye. Young kids, they don't know the good cartoons. Just the garbage out there now. Listen, Popeye, we know when he got overwhelmed and the situation got too tough, he would say, I can't stand it no more. Everybody say, I can't stand it. No more. No more. And he'd open up a can of spinach, take it, and get supernatural strength and kick everybody's tail, okay? You have to get to the point in your life where you can't stand being hopeless in this situation no more. And you got to set your mind like flint, that you're not wavering from God showing up. God, you're going to show up, and I know it. It may not be good yet, but it's going to get good, and that's the only thing on my plate, is a good ending on the story of what I'm going through. But we have to get to the point where we can't stand thinking anything that doesn't have a good ending in our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. This is the knowledge of God. And take every thought captive to obey Christ. Any thought you have that doesn't line up with the word of God, you got to take it captive. Taking your thought captive simply means gaining control of what you think about, what God says about every situation. You see, you must take thoughts captive or they'll take you captive. There's two options on the table. Taking thoughts captive means I push a spiritual delete button to anything that's a lie. I've got a picture of a delete button I found. Can you see it? Got it? Picture up there? No picture of a delete button yet. Didn't make it through. Okay. So I found this picture of a finger touching this delete button. And here's what I want you to think about. Any thought that you have that doesn't end in hope, I want you to push delete. Right? Delete. Any lie, push delete. See, if you don't push delete, you'll push repeat. The devil will beat you up with something that's not true over and over until you push delete. Nope, not believing that lie. Delete, nope, not believing that lie. You're not going to be good enough. You've fallen too far. You've messed up too much. Your finance, nope, delete, 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 because I believe in the word. But we need a spiritual delete button that we push. Anything that doesn't line up with the word of God, we're pushing delete, amen? I'm walking up here to preach, and I heard this thought. You're not Eric. And I pushed into me. I heard that, and it's not, I know, because the Holy Spirit would say, would you speak like Eric? The Holy Spirit flows through Eric, and it flows through me. But I knew, I recognized that that wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was the enemy. So when I heard, you're not Eric, I pushed delete. I just practice what I preach. I want you to know that. So we have to protect our thoughts. Listen, God's not going to ask you to do something. I can't control what I think. Yes, you can. He's not going to ask you to do something. He's not going to give you the strength to do, but you have a will to choose. Look at Proverbs 4:23. God says this, be careful what you think because your thoughts will run your life. You ever thought about being careful what you think? That means think about what you think. What are you thinking about? Think about what you think. You got to watch your thoughts. But I refuse to let any negative thoughts sit on my plate because I'm about walking in freedom, amen? Now, sometimes I can get stuck, right? And then I've got spiritual brothers and sisters who'll say, what's wrong with you? And I'm transparent. I've talked to Sam about some stuff because I have accountability in my life, other men of God. And right, listen, I want them to call things out of me. If they see me getting stuck, they have permission to say, what's wrong? Let's push delete on anything that you're believing, amen? But we must continually choose to focus on God coming through. Philippians 8:9 says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. Isn't that good? That's a promise from God. If you put this into practice, right, the peace of God will be with you. So what are you thinking about? If you make taking thoughts captive in your life, if you do it over and over, pretty soon it will become a habit. Raise your hand if you want good spiritual habits in your life, amen? Hands everywhere, because listen, you should want that, but once you do something over, it will become a habit in your life. Isaiah 26:3, This is an anchor script. We all have different scriptures that are anchors. This is an anchor scripture that I've used over and over in my life to defeat the enemy. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. Amen. Amen. God promises he'll give his peace to you if you fix your thoughts on him. One of the ways to make sure that you're not believing any lies, the more truth of God you get in you, the more you read the word of God in you, even if you don't understand it, you get the living word of God in you, get it in you, right? The more you'll have inside you that will help you defeat any and delete any word that doesn't line up with scripture. But if you get the word of God from Facebook, that's not the word of God. Listen, the devil's like a light. He'll put stuff on Facebook that sounds really good, but it's not the light. It'll sound close to scripture and get you twisted. The word of God is your compass and your light. I want to encourage you, the more word you get in you, listen, the more peace you're going to have, the stronger you're going to be. You're going to walk in freedom. You see, any conclusion that doesn't have hope attached to it is under the influence of a lie. I believe there are no hopeless circumstances. There are just people who have lost some hope. But once people increase hope in God, circumstances will change. Amen? And we can all lose hope, as I close, we can all lose hope if we're not careful. A little less than a year ago, I was driving home from Oklahoma City. I've been pastoring a church for 15 years, and the Lord said, I'm moving you. And I didn't know what that meant. That's all he told me. I wish he would. Sometimes we want a roadmap, and God says, follow me. You want things lined out, and God just says, follow me. So I went home, told Tanya, and we both cried because we loved the church we're at. We loved the people, been there 25 years in that community. And we told the elders, we helped the elders find my replacement. And everybody high-fived, but Tanya and I would go, we'd go home and cry. We knew the Lord was doing something new, but it was painful. We didn't know that you could actually mourn a church body. But we were mourning, leaving, so we sold our house. We went all in, went into the Oklahoma City, about an hour away. We got a friend let us use their house. And for 4 months, she donated her time. I donated my time in another church. She was working for a little nonprofit organization, and we waited. I'm telling you, I can preach a message like this because I've lived this. Month after month, I sat there. 1 month goes by, and I said, Lord, where's my next assignment? Month two goes by, and I said, Lord, where's the next assignment? 4 months goes by and I'm sitting in the back porch and I let my mind go down a path that was so discouraging. I wasn't supposed to go there. Sometimes the devil can take you down a path that you're not supposed to go with your thoughts. Amen? That's why you got to take them captive. But I sat there and I thought to think myself, and I put feelers out there, but no one was answering the call. All right, Lord, I don't know what's going on. And I had this thought, maybe go work at Home Depot. No offense to anybody that works at Home Depot. I just knew that wasn't my assignment. But I started thinking, well, Lord, I'll work at Home Depot. And my phone rings, and it's Brother Eric. And he goes, what are you doing? And I'm sitting on my back porch wondering what's next. And he goes, would you pray about something? Would you and Tanya pray about joining the team at Sand Springs? And we love it here at Sand Springs. We do. And I just want to tell you that through this word today is I didn't have to go down that road of discouragement. And I knew better. I didn't have to go down the road. God knew in 4 months I was getting a phone call from Brother Eric. He was going to put on his heart. But I let myself go down a path that I was never supposed to go. And praise God that God is so full of mercy and grace that he didn't discipline me. Amen. Even when you're not perfect or you don't handle things perfectly, he can still work through us because he's so gracious. Would you close your eyes and what's the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? I really believe that the Lord wants to handle any discouragement that you're battling right now. So if you're battling any discouragement, in a moment we're going to get back into worship and we're going to have a prayer team that's going to be up here. Or maybe it's something else the Lord has spoken to you about. We believe so many prayers get answered up here at the altar. I know it makes you uncomfortable to get out and walk up here. Just remember, Jesus was uncomfortable on the cross for you. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I can just tell you, you're missing out. He's faithful and he's good. He's my best friend. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, make your way up to, let us pray with you. This would be the greatest day of your life. God's here, he's present, and he's doing work in our lives. Father, we just thank you so much for what you're doing. We recognize that you're here today, and we recognize that you're moving in power. Lord, we ask even as we close, Lord, that no one would leave early and miss out on what you're about to do. We believe there's going to be a holy exchange of the kingdom of God pour out over every person. You're not up here just on the holy hill going through motions. I believe we're all on assignment to get freedom in our life, to get hope restored, for God to wipe away anything in our life that isn't good. So go ahead and stand to your feet. Let's enter back into the presence of God and worship. Prayer team, come up. Anyone that needs prayer, make your way up.
Continue to be in your presence, God. Would you just continue to work on our hearts?
Yeah.
Would you continue to move, Lord? And would we not be shy about stepping out into what you're calling us into, God? But would we be bold and courageous? God, and for anyone here who feels like they don't have a part in the kingdom of God, I just want that person to know that you have an inheritance from your heavenly Father, one that this world cannot take away from you. So as we continue along in the service, if the Lord is still working on your heart and you feel like the Lord is calling you, would you just come? The prayer team is still here and this ministry is not going to stop. Lord, we pray that everyone who encounters you today, Lord, that they would leave this place different. Lord, that all the things that they've carried, the burdens that they carried, they would leave it here and they wouldn't pick it back up. Father God, that you would just allow people to walk in freedom as they leave this place today. God, would you continue to stir our hearts to walk out in obedience? Lord, would we continue to run the race set before us? Would we continue to run and share the gospel? Lord, that our feet would be fitted with the gospel. And we pray this in Jesus' name.